Today's reading comes from the 10th chapter of Luke, beginning with the first verse. Later, the master selected 70 and sent them out ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. And he gave them this charge. What a huge harvest, and how few the harvester's hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. On your way, but be careful, for this is hazardous work. You are like lambs in a wolf pack. Travel light, comb and toothbrush, and no extra luggage. Don't loiter and make small talk with everyone you meet along the way. When you enter a home, greet the family with the words peace. And if your greeting is received, then it's a good place to stay. If it's not received, take it back and get out. Don't impose yourself. Stay at one home, taking your meals there, for the worker deserves 3 square meals. Don't move from house to house, looking for the best cook in town. Amen. When you enter a town and are received, eat what they set before you, heal anyone who is sick, and tell them God's kingdom is right at your doorstep. And when you enter a town and you are not received, go out in the street and say, the only thing we got from you is dirt on our feet, and we're giving that back. Did you have any idea that God's kingdom was right at your doorstep? Sodom will have it better on Judgment Day than the town that rejects you. Hello. All right, so how many think that the reading that I just gave is, in fact, our marching orders to go out into the community and evangelize? Let me see hands. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. Of course, my husband would. Amen? Amen? All right, what do you mean you got the opposite?
Well, if you go into a place and they don't greet you, it's like, I'm going to get married and I'm going to change you. You know?
Okay.
You can't change other people. You can only work on yourself.
Yeah, well, I tell you, those are words of wisdom. Don't get married expecting to change your partner. That, yeah, I mean, you would marry them because you don't want them to change. Okay? All right, but these folks, you're right. For those who raised your hand, you are absolutely right. These are the marching orders for evangelism. This is why evangelists on TV exist. This is why Benny Hinn stands in a coliseum of 50,000 people, snaps his coat, and 10,000 of them fall over. Now, for those of you who have been coming to this church for a minute, ought to know, or probably should have said in your head as I was reading this and gave you this introduction, you should have thought, uh-oh, this is about to take a left turn. Don't Amen? And you're right, it is. Because I will tell you, based on theological study, and based on what Jesus was doing, this has nothing to do with evangelism as we know it. Nothing. This has not anything to do with filling a big coliseum. This has got nothing to do with going out on the street corner and preaching like an idiot. And yes, I said that. It's got nothing to do with going down to that park and telling people about Jesus. Has nothing to do with that. And you know how I know that? If you listen to the reading really close. And I know that that's one of the troubles that we have, right, in the mainline church today, is we hear something and we go, oh yeah, I've heard that. And then we immediately jump to whatever we've been taught. Amen? Like, for instance, let me try this out. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? How many of you, when you heard that phrase, immediately went, oh yeah, we're all sinners? Yeah, amen. That's because that's what you've been taught. And you're set up at that point to go down whatever road the evangelist decides to take you down at that point. That's exactly why they do that. So you have to listen to these things and study these things for yourself. Alice and I were talking about it this morning. You know, one of the things that, and this is a sidetrack, and yes, you'll probably be able to tell that I don't have to ump today because I'm going to spell this out. One of the things that really disturbs me is we get people that come to our church all the time. And they come in, and they are just like, wow, is this cool? This is really great. I really like it. And then 3 or 4 months later, when I see them out of the community and say, hey, we've missed you. I haven't seen you for a while. Yeah, I know. I'm still kind of searching for myself. Excuse me? What does that mean? Well, you know, I haven't found that church yet. Now, folks, I don't want to sound arrogant, but if it's the mainline church that was beating the crap out of you, amen, and you get here, and as the brother said this morning, I come here because I feel like I am welcome, that I am accepted. And what was my response to that was, and I don't want to sound arrogant, but when he said that, I said, well, that's because you are. Amen? Okay? So, don't think that you need to look for a church. You just have to find a place that you can practice your relationship with God, where you will be encouraged. And yes, I have said 100,000 times, coming to this church is difficult. Amen? It is. What's difficult about it? Well, number one, you got to look at the thermometer. Okay? You know, and there's some of you that not only look at the thermometer, but you look at the wind direction. And how big a hassle is it going to be for keeping the place set up? Yeah. Is it going to be too cold? Oh my God, is it going to be hot? You know, and then out of the other side of your mouth, though, when you're sitting there telling somebody that you worship at this place without walls, you say it's really cool because we don't have an altar committee. We take whatever God gives us. Well, amen. There you go. You know, you don't like the colors of the season? Just look around you. There they are. You know, you need a choir? Shut up and listen to the birds. Mm-hmm. Or listen to the kids. I can't think of a better way to understand what it means to be loved by God than to just shut up for a second and listen. So incredible. And that is what this message is actually about. You see, there are some people, because this is the political season, that could sit there and go, well, you know, Jesus was doing what it is that they do for political candidates. What do they pay those guys big money for when they go into town ahead of the candidate? What do they call it?
Front men.
Yeah, front men. They're coming in to get things set up so that by the time the actual guy gets there, people at least know what's going to happen. Amen? Okay, so there are people that sat there and said this about Jesus. Jesus had a message that he was starting to preach that was diametrically opposed to what they were being told in the temple. Hear me now. He had a message that was diametrically opposed to what they were being taught in the temple. And so, he wanted to get to as many people as he could, so he found 70 people. He said, go out in pairs. Go do it. Let them know we're coming. Let them know that this is what we're going to be talking about. Well, we don't send people out in pairs today. What do? We put an ad together and we put it on Facebook. Amen? Or we send out a massive email. Or we subscribe to my brother's newspaper, AJC, right? And take out a big ad of some kind that he sold you, by the way. We have lots of different ways of getting the word out, but what is the message that's going out? Is it evangelism the way we do it today? And the answer to that question is no. See, once again, we've twisted things because everybody has gotten into this whole salvation thing. That you got to love Jesus, that you got to see Jesus as the Messiah, that you got to take Jesus as your personal Savior. And here I am going to disturb some old-time folks. That is not any of what the good news is about. The good news is about exactly what Jesus taught. What Jesus taught was that everybody belongs to God. What Jesus taught is that we've got no business killing people because the state says so. What Jesus taught is that when people are hungry, we should feed them. What Jesus taught is when people don't have any clothing, that we ought to be getting them clothing. What Jesus taught is when they're sick and in prison, we ought to be right there. It is not about whether you can repeat the sinner's prayer. And that's what he was telling them. Because if it is everything that the evangelists make it out to be at the church today, then I guarantee you that we wouldn't have changed anything. We'd still all be in a Jewish temple someplace. And for those of you who are listening at home, that isn't a criticism of Judaism. What I'm saying is that Jesus came with a different message, and it had to get out there. And he made sure, he was so consistent, so consistent. For the people, we had somebody that used to come to church here, and they quit coming to church. And I said, well, what was the problem? Did we do something wrong? Oh, no, Pastor, you didn't do anything wrong. I just needed that big choir. Oh, okay. So 25 voices wasn't good enough for you? 25 voices that are off key most of the time, but who cares? Amen. Yeah. We take seriously, make a joyful noise. Amen? Yes, amen. And they also said, but you know, you don't have Sunday school programs and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, okay, I get it. And I actually felt kind of guilty about that for a minute. I did. It took me about a half a minute, 30 seconds. And then I remembered this passage. When you go out to do the work, don't take anything with you. Take some water. Maybe take a notebook.
Don't forget your comb.
Yeah, your comb. Well, in my case, a brush.
Don't want to scare the shit out of people when you get there.
Do you get it? In other words, Jesus was saying, look, if you're going to go out and do the community work, keep it simple. Amen? Do you understand now why this church doesn't buy into creeds or dogma? Because the moment you get into creeds and dogma, things get complicated. They do. You know, we're not repeating here every Sunday that you got to believe in the Trinity or that you have to confess before communion. We have no theology around that. And why? Because of this. Keep it simple. In the sales game, Lance, they have this thing called KISS, K-I-S-S, that they teach every salesperson. Do you all know what that means?
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, stupid. Well, that's right. And Jesus was doing exactly that. Take what you need, and then when you go, don't be staying at the Ritz-Carlton when Clifton Sanctuary will do. Don't be saving your money to buy a $600,000 house when one for $45,000 will do. I heard people the other day, and I don't begrudge them. You know, they go on these long vacations, and they're spending all kinds of money, and they're bitching and moaning about how long the lines are at Disney World. Hello, how many people went hungry last night? And how much money did you spend? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. How many of you have gotten into really heady theological arguments with people? Raise your hand. I mean arguments, real debates. Okay, here's the rule. Here's the suggestion. The next time you find yourself in one of those, just simply say peace, give them a hug, and go on to the next thing. Amen? Amen? I'm serious. I had somebody call the church this week. They wanted to tell me how bad homosexuals and transgenders are. They wanted to tell me how I was leading everybody down the path of hell, down the path straight to hell. Now, for those of you who know me, you're probably sitting there going, oh my God, here we go. My response after doing some study this week was, thank you for your call. Peace be with you. And I hung up. I can tell you I am done arguing with people about what they think Jesus said. That is not our mission. Our mission is to feed the hungry. Our mission is to clothe the naked. Our mission is to visit the sick and imprisoned. Our mission is to be fair and merciful and humble with our God. That's us, folks. That is what evangelism is about. That is what Jesus sent them out into the country to do. Now, your pastor moved into the 21st century. Wrong one. I put some sermon notes on my phone. Aren't you excited? If you are having trouble with what I said this morning, then hear these words. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Hello. No judgment. Just restore them. Bring them back in. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, now notice the next words, they deceive themselves. It's not that you deceive anybody else. You deceive yourself. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. I cannot tell you how many times I have been accused of being too easy in my Christianity, that the Christianity that I teach is too easy, too forgiving, too this or that. You know, and I'm sitting there going, well, then how come this place ain't full? Because people do go to the place like lightning, you know. People are like lightning. They go to the place of least resistance, right? If I was so easy, why aren't people here? Well, I'll tell you why. Because, again, when you come here, not only do you have to make it a intentional decision about coming, but then you got to hear that, look, we're here for you. We will support you. But guess what? We ain't doing it for you. Amen? You've got to take responsibility for your actions. And when you mess up, we'll be right there to embrace you. And no, we won't point out the mess up. Amen? Sometimes our life is all the evidence of a mess up that we need, right? Finally, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So there you go. That's evangelism. That's what this gospel message is about. It is not about making people feel bad. It is good news because you go out into the community and because of the way you live your life, people want to come to you. Now, again, she hates this when I do this. But you see how much food we had there today? Mm-hmm. That was because this is the way she thinks. It wasn't, oh my God, I got to do something to show off. Or, oh my God, I got to do this because it's what the church requires. No, that wasn't it. What it was is they had a pile of food where they were at. There was all this food left over. And the thought went, you know, there are going to be people in church tomorrow that need to eat. Nothing to brag about. And nothing for somebody to sit there and make a judgment about whether she's a Christian or not. Why? There's no reason to make a judgment. She's living a Christian life. Amen. Amen. Oh, there you go. Now, when you get into really tough spots, folks, I'm going to close with this. This is a true story. It happened to me when I was in CPE. That's Clinical Pastoral Education. And, you know, the church gets really caught up on rules. We really get caught up in our theologies. Like, you know, you've heard me say that, like, if you're Roman Catholic, they believe that communion is the moment it's prayed over, it actually becomes the body and blood. You know, in the Episcopal Church, they believe after they pray over it and ingest it, it becomes the body and blood. I don't know about you, but that's all weird stuff to me. You know, I prefer the Methodist interpretation, which is the scriptural interpretation that we do this in memorial. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. You know that we have over 100 different Baptist denominations, and what are they all arguing about? How to baptize. Okay? There are some of you that are sitting here because the church you grew up in does not like you. And some of you are sitting there saying, yeah, they didn't like gay people. No, they didn't like you because you were homeless. They didn't like you because you had a drug problem. They didn't like you because you didn't have the right job. You didn't marry the right person. Need I go on? So we do get hung up. But let me give you the example of how to make the church work and what you believe about your relationship with God. As I said, this happened to me when I was at CPE. It happened to this pastor who was far more dramatic with it than I was. So I'm going to tell his story. He was a chaplain in a hospital. He had a young child that was born dead. And the mother wanted the child baptized because she, in her mind, wanted that child to be with God. And she thought that baptism was the way to get there. Now, in the Luther Church, they don't baptize the dead. And I know that sounds negative on the surface, but part of the reason they don't is there's no need. You're already with God. Amen? Amen. So there's no need for that. There's baptism is a live proclamation. But the mother was just totally upset, and the chaplain didn't know what to do because he knew that within the limits of his church and his requirements as a chapel, he could not baptize that baby. So he sent the parents off to the chapel to pray. He went back to his office to pray. And as he prayed, he came across this passage that I read to you today. He walked into the chapel, and with tears in his eyes, he wiped the tears from his eyes, and then he wiped the tears from the father's eyes and the mother's eyes and put it on the forehead of the baby and baptized that baby. It's not about dogma, folks. It's not about creeds. It's about proclaiming your relationship, being fair, being merciful, and most of all, letting people see your relationship with God. Amen.